Scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Very busy Friday. Had a number of high school football playoff games that got postponed from Thursday to last night due to the snow up north. We'll start off with the scores at a couple of local teams. Pick up wins last night in Class 11B. Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central shut out Sisseton 33-0. For the Blackhawks, Carter Groves scored 3 touchdowns. They have a tough one now. They will travel to a second seed Bridgewater Emory Ethan next Thursday. Here on KOKK in Class 9B, number 3 seed against number 4 seed, and it was all number 3 seed. Wolsey Wessington crushed Langford 44-0 to advance yesterday. Marty Gone, 23 carries, 123 yards. Eric Klanchnik playing for the first time since the first game of the season, 5 carries for 102 yards. Warbirds cruise to the quarterfinals. They will host Corsica Stickney next Thursday. The rest of the scores, again, all these were postponed from Thursday. In 11B, Mobridge shut out Aberdeen Roncalli 54-0. St. Thomas More shut out Redfield 37-0. In 9A, Lemon McIntosh 64, Elkton Lake Benton 14. Rapid City Christian defeated Jones County White River 38-8. Class 9A, Warner shut out North Border 41-0. Ipswich Edmund Central shut out Britton Hecla 52-0. Wall 40, Northwestern 8, Phillip 26, Timber Lake 12. And in 9B, Harriet Selby 48, Falkton 26, and Faith defeated Harding County 34-30. And that is the rundown of high school football scores last night. We'll run down the quarterfinal round of the football playoffs for next Thursday here shortly. Plenty of high school volleyball last night. That included the Huron Tigers on the road. Huron at Sioux Falls Roosevelt. Roosevelt 6-9 on the season. But boy, that's a team to watch the next couple of years. Very young. Only 3 seniors on the roster. And Roosevelt pushed Huron to 5 and won it. 25-17, 18-25, 25-16, 20-25, 15-13. Huron's record drops to 12-4 on the season. They host Mitchell on Tuesday. One other double-A score from last night, Washington swept Mitchell 25-17, 16, and 14. Area scores last night in volleyball, Redfield defeated Webster 5 sets, 25-17, 14-25, 25-10, 21-25, 15-7. Highmore Herald swept Stanley County 25-9, 11-14. Ethan defeated Miller in 4 sets, 25-18, 20, 24-26, 25-22. Bridgewater Emory defeated Sanborn Central Woonsocket straight sets 25-13, 23-22. Hitchcock Tulare defeated Sully Butte straight sets 25-16, 15-15. And finally, East-West duels started last night in Sturgis and Spearfish with East River teams, ESD, playing West River teams, and it was all East River last night. Brandon Valley picked up 2 wins, 2 sets. Rapid City Central and Spearfish, they're playing best 2 out of 3 for this. Brookings picked up 3 wins, sweeping Douglas, Rapid City Central, and Spearfish. Harrisburg of Para wins, defeating Stevens and Sturgis. Watertown of Para wins, defeating Douglas and Rapid City Central. Watertown, I guess, a third win there against Spearfish. And Yankton of Para wins over Rapid City Stevens and Sturgis. Those East-West duels will continue today. And cheer and dance state competition started last night. Class A out at Rapid City in cheer. Sioux Valley, I believe, 14th year in a row wins state Class A cheer. Wolsey Wessington, a program that's only a couple of years old, they were state runner-up in cheer. And in dance, Dakota Valley, their 11th state championship in a row. Now, double A cheer and dance will be held today. In fact, we'll get to our schedule here for today. Couple of state events out in Rapid City. They're going to run in the snow today. State Cross Country is at Hart Ranch in Rapid City today. Saw some photos where they were clearing snow in order to get the meet trail organized. So, yeah, they're going to be running in the snow today. State Cross Country starts this morning, and they pushed all the times ahead due to impending weather. Cheer and dance here on Tigers State AA meet at Rapid City Stevens today as well. And then a volleyball, Warner is at Hitchcock Tulare So that is the rundown of today's schedule with some state events. Now, run down the complete list of quarterfinal matchups for high school football next Thursday, as all seven classes will be playing. 11 AAA, 8-seed Watertowns, a top-seed Roosevelt, 7-seed Aberdeen is at 2-seed Brandon Valley, 6-seed Washington at 3-seed Lincoln, and 5-seed Harrisburg at 4-seed O'Gorman. 11 AA Huron Tigers with the 5-seed will visit number 4-seed Sturgis. 7 o'clock kickoff next Thursday on Tiger 95. 6-seed Mitchell is at number 3-seed Pierce. 7-seed Douglas at 2-seed Yankton. 8-seed Spearfish is at top-seed Brookings. 11A Lennox, the 8-seeds at top-seed T. 4-seed Dakota Valley at number 5 Madison. 7-seed Millbank is at 2-seed Canton. 6-seed Del Rapids is at number 3-seed West Central. 11B, 9-seed McCook Central Montrose is at top-seed Winner. 5-seed Elk Point Jefferson at number 4 Sioux Valley. 6-seed St. Thomas More at 3-seed Mulbridge. And 7-seed Woonsocket Wessington Springs Sanborn Central is at 2-seed Bridgewater Emory Ethan. Matchups for 9-man in 9AA, number 8-seed Rapid City Christian and top-seed Viberg Hurley, number 5 Hanson and number 4 Platt Geddes, 7-seed Arlington Lake Preston and 2-seed Hamlin, and 6-seed Florence Henry at number 3-seed Lemon McIntosh, 9A, 8-seed Castlewood at top-seed Howard, 5-seed Phillip at number 4-seed Canastota Freeman, 7-seed Lyman at 2-seed Wall, 6-seed Ipswich Edmond Central at number 3-seed Warner. In 9B, number 8-seed Scotland is at top-seed Kadoka, 5-seed Del Rapids St. Mary at 4-seed Faith, 7-seed Coleman Egan at 2-seed Harriet Selby, that's a rematch of last year's state championship, 6-seed Corsica Stickney is at number 3-seed Woolsey Wessington, that's a game we'll have on the air here on KOKK next Thursday. So that is the rundown of state high school football playoff pairings. Coming up here on Dakota Sports Saturday today, a lot of Huron Tiger talk, cross country with Angie Thomas, cheer and dance with Megan Smith. We'll talk volleyball with head coach Shelley Buttenhagen and football with head coach Scott Spanton. And again, Dakota Sports Saturday getting underway at about 8:15 this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
Hi, this is Lexi Gilbert, senior on the Huron Tiger volleyball team. Our annual breast cancer awareness night is Tuesday, October 27th, when we host Mitchell at the Huron Arena at 7. Our theme is Dream Bigger for a Cure. The special t-shirts are now available. Contact any member of the Huron Tiger volleyball team to purchase one. Money raised will go to the Huron Regional Medical Center Prevention and Treatment. Due to COVID, the rose ceremony will be virtual, and a silent auction with a variety of donated items will be online. Don't miss breast cancer awareness night at the Huron Arena, Tuesday, October 27th.
Dakota Sports.
And with that, we start Dakota Sports Saturday and lead into volleyball with head coach Shelley Buttenhagen. Huron Tigers go 1-1 on the week. A great win, 3-set sweep over Watertown Tuesday, and then a tough 5-set loss to Sioux Falls Roosevelt, a very up-and-coming team. Coach, two matches this week, two very good teams. Roosevelt not reflective of their 6-9 record in that. They're a young team, and they're just going to get better here. And Roosevelt would have been a team we would have probably rather seen on September 5th than October 22nd or 23rd, whatever it was yesterday.
Well, if you're worried about wins, yeah. But right now we're worried about getting better, and we really believe that this match is going to make us better in a lot of different areas. And, you know, they just served the leather off the ball, and we weren't able to receive sometimes and put our offense into any rhythm whatsoever, and we're going to have to continue to work on the passing. But the kids know that. I don't have to say that. You know, when you look at how many times Emily and Libby got to swing, we just didn't have a lot of opportunities on our first ball. And then, you know, I think we were pretty, our offense was pretty effective once we did have like a free ball pass, or we got ourselves or tendling close to the net and able to do some things offensively with our middles. But we've got to work really hard in our receive game still. I thought we passed really well against Watertown, and I think
about everything clicked against Watertown.
Yeah, performance was very reflective, or the outcome was very reflective of our passing. So, you know, but again, I don't want to give, I don't want to take away any credit from Sioux Falls Roosevelt. They made us get in that situation, and our passers just, you know, they hung in there. It wasn't our worst passing match by any chance, but by any means. We just weren't able to really get into a lot of rhythm the whole night. But I got to give our kids a lot of credit because we weren't playing that great.
First set, I was thinking sweep the way we looked,
right,
to be honest.
But our kids just battled. And you look at all of our losses, they're coming on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it is hard to win on the road in this state. And they, you know, Sioux Falls Roosevelt had a home court advantage just because they didn't have to ride a bus, and we had to make arrangements to ride down, and we made different arrangements and didn't really have
a talk about
spot.
That. You mentioned it a little bit before the match last night, but we're getting to the end of the season, and you're thinking maybe a little, what's the word I'm looking for, be a little more social distancing is beneficial here with 2 weeks to go to the end of the season.
Yeah, you know, I guess we've been learning about COVID this whole, how many months have we been in this? Seven months, and things are constantly changing. You don't know. And what made me nervous was that when you look at the calendar, and, you know, you have to sit a kid out for 2 weeks. And then what we've learned is that if one of our kids were to really get COVID, it's a rough recovery for some of these kids or a lot of the people, too. And we don't know. I mean, I think one of our players bounced back really well, but one of them really has struggled. And so that's scary to me, that something that's so unknown or unpredictable could actually change the outcome of the season. And something that we've worked hard all season. We've worked hard to get better. We've worked hard to stay together. We've worked hard to stay healthy. But this is so not controllable. And then something you hear about the COVID is you shouldn't be in tight spaces, and while the school district has taken every precaution that they can, you know, there's shields up now on the bus, and but it's still what we know is an airborne thing, right? And when you can't see it, you can't control it. So I think we parents just decided to take matters in our own hand and just make sure that our kids were in their own vehicles with their own families, and you can't protect that either. You don't know where this COVID is. But so anyway,
you did take a bus.
We did take a bus, and I think half of us were in cars with parents, and half of all of us, grades 9 through 12, half were on the bus. So we had some coaches in the bus, and some coaches we just drove to. So anyway, that was different, a different element. And was it great timing? I don't care if it was great timing or not. It was something that we felt we had to do. And we know, as a whole squad, we know that this experience down at Roosevelt, on the court, off the court, is going to make us better in the long run. For whatever reason, we've got lessons that we have to learn. And trust me, I know that our girls have lessons that they want to get better at, and the whole squad does. So, you know, I was in a car driving with my child or my player, and we called. Everybody, just, you know, everybody that played last night, and had conversations with them and some of their parents too, and we all feel pretty good about what we can take away from this match.
And I guess if I'm thinking off the top of my head, there is only one more road trip left.
Yeah, there's only one more
regular season.
Exactly, and then
we'll host.
Yeah, it doesn't look
16.
Yeah, it doesn't look like we can. Yeah. I mean, unless, you know, I don't know.
Well, we'll get to that coming up.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, you can plan all you want, but there's one intangible that nobody can plan for. We'll look at Roosevelt last night. Coach Vanderwall was out. He will be out until he maybe will be back for their last match of the regular season. He's got COVID in his house. And I think he left the team on Wednesday, if I remember right.
His little girl got COVID, and she's really sick with no strep throat, and so you feel really bad for them. But, yeah, you just you don't know, and it's something you can't see and you can't predict. And I think all of us, once we think we have it figured out, things change. Like CDC said, well, now it's a you know, one shot if we're together for more than 15 minutes, or, you know, try to keep it under 15 minutes. Okay. And then they went back to, now it's a cumulative in 24 hours, 15 minutes. It could be, you know, 30 seconds times 30, and you still have a chance of getting it. So once that changed again, I got a little fidgety, just thinking what could happen. And but, you know, I guess when you can't control it, you still worry about it a little bit, but we're trying not to. We're just trying to do the right things, I guess.
Well, we'll get back to volleyball. Let's just talk about the game. And, yeah, we just talked too much about COVID, but it's there. So, and it gets back to the one point I was going to make where, you know, we're pretty comfortable. We will be hosting a match. Just depends where the seating is. But the one thing that surprised me, and I did not notice this till this week, there's only six teams with winning records in AA volleyball. Roosevelt at 6-9 going into last night. They actually had the 7th seed, a home match.
Yeah, and now they're 7-9. They'll end up over 500, which will bump, you know, things up. But
it would actually help us out if we're above 500,
well,
too.
It's going to help everybody out.
Yeah, that's
so
true. That's
it's a
true.
Sliding thing. So I know Tenley is pretty good at math, and she had
used to teach it.
Yeah, and so she had everything in out in the car, and she was working on people's schedules, and she was doing the math, and because we had ourselves set up pretty well with that third seed, and then this could bump us down to 4, 5, or 6. We don't know.
Yeah.
We just got to fit in. But, and so we talked about, you know, Tenley and I, and with her being, it's not just that she's my daughter. She's the setter, right?
I know that.
Yeah, so she feels responsible, and every setter does this. It's not just.
It's the point guard in basketball.
Exactly.
Quarterback in football.
So she spent a great deal in the car with math, looking at everybody's schedules and the possibilities, and finally I just said, hey, Tenley, you know, look, I'm talking to you as a coach here. Knock it off, okay? We are only going to do what we've been preaching in the locker room right now for the last 30 minutes is control what we can control.
Yeah, we control us. Yeah. We don't go control Aberdeen, no. Washington, anybody else.
And so knowing math like she does, she knows about the different possibilities, and so she was just – it would have been a great math problem, actually, what she was doing. But
story problems.
Yeah, knock it off. Let's just worry about ourselves. We've got to do things a little bit better. And, you know, the coaching staff, here's what the coaching staff has to do better, is we're spending so much time on a system. Instead of fighting that and just passing, we got to work on maybe tweaking our offense and start working on hitting and setting to where we're getting passes and just – concentrate on that and see if we can get better at that game. And so that's what we're doing is now basically at this point in the season after this week, we are who we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just not going to get different, I guess. And so now the coaching staff has to adapt to what we are. And our first ball, you know, last night we passed it at 1.7 when you want to be at a 2.
Oh.
And that's a big difference.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. And so a 2 means Tenley's feet are inside the 10-foot line, basically. 1.7 means she's off the net a lot.
Far off
yeah.
The net.
So we're going to start working on that offense and the first ball and just see. But our kids, Jeff, had so many great plays, and that's what we're going to concentrate on. I thought Maddie and Bryn played a really good match. I mean, there was times that if people had a camera right on those kids, we had digs that were just inches from the floor, and they were flying in there, off the floor and saving balls. Those kids they're bruised all over the place. Maddie's back was not great last night. I mean, thank you to Jennifer Schroeder for kind of treating her right before the match, and trying to see if we could loosen that thing up or pop it back into place or whatever we had to do. And that wasn't chiropractor terminology; that was our own, but.
I understood it.
Yeah. I thought Brooke had some really good plays, and we were maybe one block away and one swing away.
Yeah, we'll
serve maybe two from that match. And when you're that close, look, we were in a position to win, and that's really all you can ask.
Yeah, 11-8 in the fifth set we were up.
Yeah. We were right there, and that's all we can ask. And so for the rest of the season, we're going to go 11-8 on that scoreboard and just practice putting things away and what could be different. But again, maybe it wasn't all us. Maybe it was a lot that Sioux Falls Roosevelt was doing, and they were playing extra inspired because their coach was home, and they wanted that one really bad for Coach and his family. So, or maybe they're just really good. Their hitters were way taller. We had a really tough time dealing with some of their height. I thought we made some good adjustments, but in that fifth set there coming down the stretch, we made some hitting mistakes where we just thought we could blast it through their block, and now we know that we can't. So, again, Jeff, if we focus on the positive and ask ourselves why did this happen, there's a lot of really good lessons. There's a lot of really good takeaways that our kids are hungry to learn from, and so that's a really good sign.
Now, Tuesday, Mitchell, Breast Cancer Awareness Night, always a popular night on the schedule. It's almost like, yeah, Breast Cancer Awareness Night, and oh, yeah, we're going to play volleyball, too.
Yeah, so, the video is, we're working on that. Hopefully that will be up tomorrow. We've got a lot of candidates, really good candidates, not candidates, but people that we're going to honor.
People that have been touched by breast cancer.
I watched The Bachelor on Mondays, so yeah. Candidates, whatever.
Okay.
Dale Moss, the Brandon Valley kid is on there. So that is the only reason why I'm watching it.
And he's been in Huron before.
Yeah, and I watched him play basketball a lot. So anyway, we have this rose ceremony. We were not bringing the candidates in due to COVID. And not only that, but some of these rose recipients are in the high-risk category anyway. Yeah. We wouldn't want to put them in that situation.
Yes.
So, but the video hopefully will cover those bases, and we'll mention their names at the arena. And then we've got our online auction, and then we've got T-shirts. Unfortunately, we're out of mediums and larges. That's a good sign. That means that there's a lot of T-shirts out there, which is really good marketing.
A lot of small people with T-shirts.
So there's a lot of marketing going on. And again, the reason why we do this is to raise money for a great cause.
It stays at HRMC.
Yeah. And I've talked to a few other schools now, and they raise a boatload of money. I think our community, honestly, I'm gonna just challenge our community maybe to support this a little bit more. I think the cause is on our Huron Volleyball Club page where you could donate. Even if you don't want to buy a T-shirt, get on that page and donate. It's for a great cause. It helps a ton of women in this community. And there's a lot of women in this community that are 40 and older.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to start at least at 40 and older. And so let's rally around a lot of us women. And then one of our players has had a grandpa pass away from breast cancer.
Yeah, this is not a strictly female.
Right. And so, I don't know if it's getting more popular with men, but I'm starting to hear more about it. You didn't even think about that. And so I guess, let's just rally behind and help our hospital raise money for this stuff.
Okay, so that's Tuesday night, and we'll be on the air 6:40 pre-match, 7 o'clock start. And Mitchell Colonel is coming to town, so that's a little extra thing, too. That, kids, no matter what sport we're playing, we look forward to Mitchell.
Yeah, I don't know if that rivalry is ever going to go away. I think the district...
And hopefully it does. There's no reason why it should.
Right. District 3, we still have some of those feelings, and our kids now still remember that, and I don't know. Really? When's the last time we had a district? When's the last time we...
Carissa Schroeder's senior year.
Really? Okay.
We won the last ever District 3 tournament.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We should probably bronze that trophy, or that plaque, or whatever that was. Bronze that thing. But then, there's other rivalries now that we're really picking up on. Every time you play a District 3 opponent... but Mitchell, for some reason, I don't know if it's because we're so close, ESD. I don't know if it's because
the kids know each other.
Yellow and black.
It's a lot of things.
Well, with social media, they know each other. It's amazing. I can take an iPad and I can't see numbers, and they'll go, well, that's blah, blah, blah. They know them. So and it's a big match for us because, we didn't rebound so well after some of our losses early on in the season. When's the last time we lost? I tried to figure that out.
Washington.
That was September.
I think that might have been the last Thursday in September, Mason.
It was October 1st.
Okay. Yeah.
So
3 weeks ago.
Yeah. That's a long time.
Yeah.
It's a long time in volleyball. So, but we're looking forward to getting back on the court. If we were healthy, I was wishing we would have a match today.
Mm-hmm.
But our
we need to have today.
We need to have 2 days off.
Yeah.
really, we need a lot of kids in ice baths, and I'll call the parents and have them come down to the ice machine in the arena and load up their bathtubs. Mm-hmm. The kids will love that.
Oh, yeah. I might like it, so.
Yeah. But, yeah, we need to get a little bit healthier now.
Shelly Budnagin, head coach here on Tigers. Tough five-set loss last night. Host Mitchell Tuesday, and again, Breast Cancer Awareness Night. What, Facebook page is the best place to go to get more information?
Yeah, well, here in Volleyball Club. And I'm still, I know HRMC is very busy, but yeah. I was kind of hoping that maybe by the weekend we'd start seeing some of the items. We've got some really cool items. Mm-hmm. A pink cooler came through from Elwine Brothers. We've got a really good other, like just a camping cooler from the senior parents and kids donated and puts a really good goodie thing together. Mm-hmm. We've got things from the sleep number down in Sioux Falls, and there's a whole bunch more. It's really, really nice.
And Kim Weed is officiating tonight.
Is she really? Yeah. Oh, good, because she's, you know what, she's my recipient. Yep. I remember watching her play when I was in high school.
Yep, I know she's from here on. My wife was friends with her younger sister.
Yeah, and watching her play basketball. In fact, I just sent her a note just saying, thank you for the donation, and I remember you had the coolest basketball shoes way back when, because they were the Adidas ones. Not you, Kim Reed.
Okay.
Not you.
Well,
you probably had. No, Kim. I sent her a note. You probably had Keds or something like that. Yeah. What color were your shoes?
We had Converse.
Yeah. Well,
the canvas Converse. That's what we had.
Canvas.
That's what we had.
Oh.
We don't.
Okay. I was even in Adidas by then. I was.
Well, you're way younger than me.
Well, not really, but Nike was still just kind of on the brink. But I had those. I had Adidas ones, and Kim Reed had the Adidas ones that were high top with the blue and red. I don't know why I remember that, but probably because I wanted that pair, and they were expensive back then. They were probably $60 back then.
Yeah, which is $150 now.
Yeah, so. At least. Yeah. So, but yeah, I remember her playing and. Have always respected her and respected her a lot when she's officiating, and so we're very lucky to still have people that want to officiate, that? And Kim's in a high-risk category, and so she's got a lot of guts for doing this, or a lot of dedication to youth. She really does. So, yeah.
Okay, there you go. Here on Tigers, Mitchell Colonels, Tuesday Night Volleyball over on Tiger 95. Still a lot to come here as we have cross-country, cheer and dance, and football here on Tigers coming up on Dakota Sports Saturday.
Hi, this is Tenley Budnagin, senior on the Huron Volleyball team. Our annual Breast Cancer Awareness Night is Tuesday, October 27th, when we host Mitchell at the Huron Arena at 7. Our theme is Dream Bigger for a Cure. The special t-shirts are now available. Contact any member of the Huron Volleyball team to purchase one. Money raised will go to Huron Regional Medical Center for prevention and treatment. Due to COVID, the rose ceremony will be virtual, and the silent auction with a variety of donated items will be online. Don't miss Breast Cancer Awareness Night at the Huron Arena on Tuesday, October 27th.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You've got Dakota Sports.
Back on Dakota Sports Saturday, we're talking with Angie Thomas, head cross country coach of the Huron Tigers, wrapping up the season this weekend with the state cross country meet out in Rapid City. And kids did get a chance to run last week, the Roger Lecker Invitational. And Angie, that meet, it's for AA teams that want to have a warm up before the state meet since there's no regions. Really, to me, it seems like kind of a relaxed event, just a chance to get out and run for our kids running on our home course.
It is. We use that meet as a practice. It's a glorified practice, but, as each week we have a competition, so it's nice to keep that flow going, and that's why we really enjoy the meet. And I try to let the kids decide as far as JV varsity what they want to run, because some kids haven't had a chance to run JV, and they're true freshmen, sophomores, or, even 7th or 8th graders. And if they have that one last chance to get another medal, I leave it up to them, especially since we do 5K for both JV and varsity.
Well, now we look ahead to the end of the season, and I guess first thing with that, because every conversation we have has to do with the times we're living in here with COVID and everything. Back in August, you ever think we would ever get here? I know last time I talked to you, you said you were going to be walking on eggshells for the last 2 weeks.
Yes, and that has not gotten any better. I feel like I'm even more anxious now. Getting really nervous, and I want us to be able to get there. We're so close right now, and the kids have worked so hard, not only working out wise, working hard, but really following the rules of wearing their masks, trying to social distance, and I just really want them to understand that this will all pay off in the end. It's, you know, the end is in sight. Here we are.
Let's talk about this meet, and I guess first things first, when cross-country, the core belief of the sport of cross-country is all terrain, all conditions. You're certainly going to get a load of that. It's been cold all week, going to be cold in Rapid City as well.
Yeah, I'm glad we had a chance to acclimate first. I mean, there's nothing worse than, you know, having beautiful weather, and then the day of the meet, it's freezing cold, and you know, the kids wouldn't have been used to that. So, yes, we've definitely been running in the cold all week, so this won't be anything new. The thing that will be different for a lot of the athletes is the terrain that they'll be running on. And, you know, we're running through a campground. We're not running on a golf course. So that is, you know, brings its own different issues along with it. We'll be running across some rocks and pathways and down into a ditch. And so, yeah, it's definitely different terrain, but, you know, it's the same for everyone. We all have to be ready for it.
Let's talk here on Tigers. First off, with the girls, who's going to be running?
We have Tori Buffington, who's been our number one runner all year. And right now, according to athletic.net, she's going in with the 49th fastest time. That is a PR that she ran, but I'm really hoping that she can improve on that time as well. And she's a sophomore. Josie Bleeker is a seventh grader, and she's running second for us right now, shaving time off with each meet as she runs. Brooklyn Botel is our lone senior, and she's just been amazing to have on the team. She is such a inspiration, and she lifts the kids up, and what a great motivator and role model to have on our team, and works really hard. Tatum Peterson is a freshman this year, and she had a great meet at the Roger Lecker meet, so I think she's really peaking now and coming on strong. And Hannah Schoenfelder is an eighth grader she's had a really good year so far. And I hope today she can just kind of break through. You know, when she hits that wall, Hannah tends to shut down. And I'm hoping, you know, today at state, this is going to be a different race for her, and she can break through that.
And go on to the boys' side. You know, I always split it up, boys and girls, but really these kids pretty much work together.
They really do. And when we practice, I try not to separate them so much into, you know, I don't like to just the boys together, the girls together. It's nice when they can intermix a little bit, and because it does push those girls to work harder. And as much as the boys, they might not say it or admit it, they don't want to get beat by a girl. So even they tend to work a little bit harder when we get into those practice situations.
Well, tell us who's running for the Huron Tiger boys.
Keith Harmon, who is a sophomore, right now it looks like he's going into the event ranked 47th, and he's been running really good these last few meets. Had a couple meets where he's been under 18. So far his PR is a 17:30. Not sure if he can do that today with the conditions, but you know what? I think if he gets his mindset to it, I think he could. He's been running really strong. TJ Lean is an eighth grader as all, and he's been our second runner the last couple meets, and he's just a workhorse. You tell TJ to run faster, he's going to run faster. He's going to listen to you. And he just finds that extra energy, that extra gear somewhere. Will Radke is a junior. He has run this course before when he was, I believe his eighth grade year, if I remember right. He was out here. Cameron Cutshaw and Will Knipling, they're both freshmen, and they had a really great race at the Roger Lecker meet. In fact, they ran PRs at that meet, and it was really windy, and it was cold there. So I look forward to the race that they're going to have. Angel Olivo Porteo, he's a sophomore. He's been running well. And then Gonzalo Quispe Laura, who's a junior, and he's also run out here before. So, you know, a few of these kids have seen the course, but, you know, that was three years ago.
And just overall, to wrap it up again, there are so many unknowns coming into the season. The kids did their part, and that was probably the biggest thing in getting to where we are today.
Yeah, definitely. If the kids weren't going to buy into this and wear their masks and follow the protocols that the school set forth, I don't know if we would have made it this far. When I look at some of the other, you know, towns around us, I think we're pretty fortunate, and I am going to chalk that up to we wore our masks. We tried to social distance. You know, we're following protocol, and in the end, you know, we all want the same thing. We want to be able to participate in our sport. We want to be able to go to school. And I think we realized if we just follow the protocols that people set forth for us, it's going to pay off for us.
Angie Thomas, head coach here on Tiger Cross Country, all cross country teams, all three classes, all six divisions, running at Hart Ranch in Rapid City for the final day of cross country for this fall season. More coming up, Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We're back on Dakota Sports Saturday. We talk with Megan Smith, head cheer and dance coach for the Huron Tigers, as their state meet is this weekend. And we'll get to about that coming up shortly. But first off, Megan, we're just going to go right to what has been the prevailing theme here ever since you got started there the first week of August. With COVID, there was a lot of unknowns coming in. Cheer and dance, along with football, were considered the highest risk sports of all the fall sports that were going on. But it looks like, knock on wood here, getting to the end of the season, you've come out of the season from a COVID standpoint very clean.
Yeah, we really only had, I think, maybe one or two girls have to quarantine in August, and that was beneficial to us. Like, rather than having the whole team have to sit down, we had extra people on our team who could fill in, so we still could continue practice. And then we just kept telling the girls that we were lucky to be where we were, and we had to take every day for what it was and be present in that, because we didn't know if something was going to happen or something was going to change with COVID and we wouldn't be able to continue. So we just had to be thankful that we got a season, even though the adjustments were hard and the accommodations to have competitions and practice were difficult, but we were just happy to be dancing and cheering.
Let's look at the season. This is your first year as coach of both. You've always been the dance coach, then assistant for cheer. This year you took over both sports, and you said difficult in some ways, better in some other ways, because you do have people helping you.
Yes, it was definitely a benefit for our program to move into one head coach and two assistant positions, and then we are really lucky to have Kylie Davis, who is a second grade teacher in Huron. She joined me on my dance staff, and then Whitney Reimer joined me as my assistant cheer coach. They were both very helpful this season with the coaching tasks that have to do with paperwork and organization, but also with building relationships with the girls and teaching them and reviewing videos and improving the program and coaching in that way too. And then we're also lucky to have Courtney Basler, who participated in our program when she was in high school. She has great tumbling experience, so she helped us a lot with our hip hop tricks and our tumbling on the cheer mat and practicing those skills. And then Whitney McDonald was our volunteer coach as well, and she had been a volunteer coach before, and then she was a head cheer coach for 2 years. So we had a lot of experience on our coaching staff, and then more hands to help with the athletes and everything else that we had to manage throughout our season.
Let's start with the cheer side. How many girls you have out, seniors, that sort of thing?
On cheer, we have 4 seniors. And actually they're the same for dance as well. We have 1 senior manager, but these seniors have, a lot of them have been a part of the program for many years, and they led a very relaxed season. The girls enjoyed their leadership and benefited from them leading by example with their work ethic and their skill, their technical skills. But we really enjoyed the seniors this year just because we weren't sure how long we were going to get to have a season with them, but they just wanted to be cheering and dancing. And they're the same on dance. It's just some participate in just jazz and some participate in just cheer. So the seniors are the same on both sides.
Well, how were your numbers this year overall? I know, for instance, on the cheer side, it seems like you always had numbers to put a full team together.
Yeah, we had 20 girls to start the season, and we did end up with 19 girls towards the end of the season. What I really liked about having I was really thankful without being able to have tryouts, we were still able to put together a full squad. And with the numbers the way they were, it just kind of worked out for us this season. When we did have injuries, we had just enough people to fill in the empty spots. So it's very rare that we had to go to a competition with a stunt not being able to go up because of missing people. So our numbers worked out for us on that side for cheer.
Then talk a little about dance. You kind of touched on it already because you did have some crossover girls, but bottom line is, you know, dance, we've had some strength there over the years, but it looks like it's been a little bit of a rebuilding year this year.
Definitely a rebuilding year this year. Our seniors that graduated last year, there was a handful of them, and they were very strong and have been a part of the program since they were very young. So we did lose that, but we also gained this year a lot of younger athletes and newer to dance. And generally in our program, our girls start off in cheer and then move into hip-hop the next year, and then they're able to do jazz and not palm this year, but they're able to do the more technical dance team routines after they've had a couple of years in our program. So we've already seen towards the end of our season our younger athletes joining in with our jazz workouts and our hip-hop practices. So we're hoping to build that up in the coming years. But I would say detrimental to our program for the competitions to move into pod formation, because that left our program with brand new young athletes who weren't able to see how other teams performed, and it was hard for them to listen to us tell them how they need to perform and explain to them in words when they need to see how other teams are doing it. A lot of girls from other schools have participated in clubs year-round and have gone to competitions outside of school-sanctioned sports where we don't have that opportunity in Huron as much. So that was probably one of our biggest struggles, was being able to teach them what they could do without them seeing other schools do it.
Well, state meet is this weekend in Rapid City. Talk about some of your expectations there.
We're really happy with where our routines are at. In cheer, we really took the side of perfection before progression. So we practice new skills in between every competition, and really happy with how we progressed throughout the season. Every competition, we were adding a new element, a new skill, or a higher level of stunting. And so we're excited that at this point in the season, we are performing at our, like, highest difficulty according to the rubric that we possibly can, and that we are executing it well. So it leaves us hopeful that we can still do well at state. And on the dance side of things, we are really happy with our routines with jazz and hip-hop this year. We've had to do a lot of cleaning and a lot of practicing because our hip-hop routine was fast and difficult, so we had to spend a lot of time reviewing and going over that. And then jazz, our routine was just more technically difficult for the girls that we have on our team, so we had to spend a lot of time practicing basic technical skills for jazz.
And we'll wrap it up here with, we started with COVID, let's end it with COVID. So a lot of things did go right this year, got your practices in for the most part, got all your meets in, but yet there were COVID effects on the season. Probably one of the biggest would have been missing the tryouts there back last spring, and then the pod competition too, where you know, you don't get to see everybody else compete at times, so there were effects.
Yeah, definitely. And I even found myself getting frustrated with some things, but I had to just relax and remember that we were just lucky to be having the season. So hopefully state should be much more enjoyable since they're only doing two pods rather than four. So we should be able to see more routines and celebrate more with other teams and cheer for them when we get to actually watch this year. So hopefully we'll end the season on a high note.
Megan Smith, head coach here on Tiger Cheer and Dance. Their state event coming up today at Rapid City Stevens High School. More coming up, Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
And back here, Dakota Sports Saturday, we talk here on Tiger Football with head coach Scott Spann here on a great win to wrap up the regular season on the road at Mitchell, 34-13. Tigers pick up the win, pulling away in the final 16 minutes of the game. And, coach, just a general synopsis. Boys had their plan, they had their job, and pretty much carried out everything as planned.
Right. It was a total team effort. We came out and did the things that we had worked on during the week. So overall, couldn't be more happy for the kids. Congratulations to them. And then we had a little extra incentive with Coach Sarda not being around due to his mishap with his illness. And so, therefore, again, you know, the kids had that in their hearts. We all had him in our minds. And so it was very important that we show up and again, try to get this one for him, but also our overall football program. So we could build some momentum and get the matchup that we were hoping to get, and we took care of our business. And like I said, very happy with the outcome, obviously. But, again, we made some improvements during the course of the game, and I thought we played probably the closest we have this year of a total ball game for 48 minutes.
And, you know, started right away, and one of the things that popped out, some of the things that have been happening to us happened on the other side. Mitchell had two long drives to open each half, only to stall when they were right at the goal line. Defense made plays when they needed to, then offense responded.
Right. We bent a little bit, you know, in some situations, but that's going to happen. They're a very talented football team and did some things that we knew going into it we were going to have as a challenge, but I thought the kids did a great job the second half coming out. We kind of limited that and again, put them in situations where they're a little bit longer yardage and put them behind a chain. So overall, again, I thought we did a great job the second half stepping up on defense. And as you said, you know, they moved it down inside our red zone, but we stepped up and bowed our necks and ended up not giving up any points on a couple of those. So it was nice to see for a change that some of the mishaps turned around and good fortune for our favor.
And, you know, there were a few mistakes. There's always going to be with high school kids. You throw out the one fumble that led to the second touchdown. Offense, you know, kept clean. Cade had time to throw. I don't think they had a sack. I had, two or three incomplete passes was all. We just kept pounding with the run game with Tyson Lean. Then Jaden came in as the kind of the auxiliary guy, and all those things clicked together.
Right. You know, Cade came back this week after 2 weeks and didn't miss a beat as far as throwing the football. His accuracy was real good. And that's, again, a benefit that the offensive line affords him, giving him great protection and being able to see the clear field and the clear pocket. And he delivered, and the receivers delivered by making the good catches and a good run after the catch in a couple of instances. So overall, it was pleasing, you know, to see our passing game get clicking again. And then, obviously, as you said, once we got that little cushion, then we were able to run the ball and do it very effectively again. Kudos to our offensive line and Tyson and Jaden, as we said before, are very physical runners and downhill runners. So that was a great way to finish the game, being able to run the clock down and stay ahead of the chains and run the football.
I gave Tyson Lean our first National Bank player of the game, but then when I tweeted it out, I just put asterisk on it, but he must share with the O-line because that was easily the best performance by our O-line.
Right. I thought they did a great job as far as controlling the line of scrimmage, give some good holes for our running backs. And so, as you said, you know, they don't get a lot of publicity, they don't get a lot of press, but we tell them that we go as you go. And so the other night was a great opportunity for them to step up, and they did, everything we asked them to do and controlled the line of scrimmage and gave us the ability to not only pass the ball but, you know, run the football in the end, as I said, to shorten the game and run the clock down in our favor.
You know, those three touchdown passes each were a little bit different in their own way. First one, Jaden Beck, and you had said a couple of weeks ago we just need to get the ball in his hands more. Carter Hott, wasn't so much the catch, it was the run after the catch. And then the third one, Max Kranzler on the short pass, Cade put that where either Max catches it or nobody does.
Right, and the good thing about it, when it comes down to, you know, what I really like is how we spread the ball around. It's not just one guy. You know, Carter made a great run after his catch. Max made a crucial catch in the end zone. And as you said, you know, big catches, big throws, you know, Jaden, that's something we game planned on as far as trying to get him down the seam against their linebacker. And everybody across the board, you know, whether they were a main target or not, plus the protection, everything worked out exactly how he drawed up that play. So, you know, those were big plays for us that helped turn the momentum back in our favor. And, again, you know, you got to give credit to our kids stepping up. And, you know, especially with a game of that magnitude, we knew going into it what was at stake. Not having Coach Sarda there, you know, so it was an awkward feeling, you know, not having him there. But again, the kids responded, and very happy for them and the end result.
You know, and defensively, maybe our MVP there was the offense. My time of possession, we held the ball over 14 minutes, both first half and second half. Mitchell had their long drive to begin each half, and other than that, they did not have the ball a lot.
Right, and that's what we spoke about as far as, you know, shortening the game, but also, you know, our best defense, you know, is our offense, because if they're out on the field, then, you know, the dangerous parts that they had to their offense were relegated to being on the sideline or playing defense. So that worked out perfectly for us. So, again, that was a big plus for us, being able to, again, you know, control the clock and shorten the game.
Well, practice Wednesday, you were telling me about it. I was there right at the end of it. You know, we had the snow on the field, and, well, the kids kind of acted like they'd never seen snow before, but snowball fight before things got going. Then you kind of had a snowman building contest at the end of practice.
Right. We said, you know, as long as we take care of our business, go out there and focus on what we need to get done, then we'll have a little fun at the end of it. So we had a little snowman competition between the classes, and, of course, the seniors came out on top. It had a little mischievous methods, though, as far as destroying the other ones. But that's going to happen, and, you know, that's...
There's no rule that said
no, you couldn't. There's no rules, and no holds barred, so they did a good job and ended up winning that competition. So it was good to let them have a little fun there at the end of it and enjoy the snowfall. But, you know, overall, just a good week. We had a great week as far as preparation on Tuesday, which is actually our Wednesday. So felt pretty good about that, and then just to top it off with being able to go out there and have a little fun at the end of it.
Well, as you mentioned, Sturgis now the opponent, and that's one of those games in our back pocket. We're thinking we should have done a few things differently there. We lose by two, had our chances all the way through on that. Sturgis, though, they got weapons on offense. They can run it consistently. They got a big target at wide receiver that has made some big plays. So they can throw a couple different types of philosophies at you if they want.
Yes, sir. They've really been playing well, especially throwing the football. They threw it very well against Mitchell and made some big plays. As you mentioned, number 13 at the outside, he caused us some problems the first game matchup-wise because he's about 6'3 or 4 and runs very well, catches the ball well. Quarterback, number 10, once he got back in the lineup, he's done nothing but good things throwing the football. He's a leader of that offense. Number 16, he's just a tough, hard-nosed kid at running back. He plays their inside linebacker. I make comparisons kind of between him running the football with Tyson and number 41 from Mitchell. So he's just a hard-nosed runner. So they have every aspect when it comes to their offensive side of the ball. They can run it. They can throw it. And they're doing equally as well at all of them right now. So, you know, the challenge we have is going to be kind of like the other night versus Mitchell, the ground game, the explosiveness of that, as well as having a good big receiver out there that they can throw the ball to and make big plays with. So those are things that we're going to have to do a better job of this time around. But I think, again, if we can do what we did the other night and duplicate that, then I think our chances are pretty good going down there on this second go-around, because once you get a second opportunity, we learned that last year, how difficult it is to beat one team once, but to turn around and play them again. So hopefully we can, you know, pull one out here and move on from there.
They just look pretty little intangibles, and obviously, yes, we did lose at Sturgis earlier this season, but overall our road record is 3-2.
That's exactly right. For whatever reason, we had some tough ones at home, but for the most part, again, the nice thing to see is after the Yankton game, you know, this thing could have easily, you know, went south, but the kids, you know, they responded very, very well to the adversity that we had and came back against Tri-Valley and, you know, built a little momentum going into this game, and this we knew was a rivalry game, so, and what was at stake. So I thought, again, we've done a good job, the kids have, of building that momentum back up, getting our confidence level back up going into this big playoff game.
And finally, we've mentioned a couple of times, but I still wanted to save it for last, Coach Mike Sarda not on the sideline Thursday. By my estimation, I think that's probably the first time since 2004 he has not been at a Huron Tiger game in a coaching capacity. I know it was tough for him, and I'm sure he wished everything he could that he could have been there Thursday for Mitchell, but you know, you're still in communication with him. You're getting, you know, he's making notes. He's still defensive coordinating, albeit by not doing it. You know, he's not supposed to do anything here for a couple of weeks, and he's a lucky man, plain and simple, and glad that he will be back.
Right. It was definitely an awkward feeling. I've only been here a little over a year on the sideline, and not to have Mike out there, obviously, it was a very difficult situation, not only from the part of the play calling on defense but more so from the mentality of the kids and just having him on their minds and going into it. You know, we kind of dedicated the game to Mike and so it was good to come out with the victory and kind of finish that thing off for him. Like I said, he's still doing the work behind the scenes, you know, just at home, and you know, he's got to, you know, you kind of have to keep him in check a little bit because we don't want him to do too much, and so I know his wife Shar is keeping a thumbnail done on him on that end of it. But just like the other day, matter of fact, yesterday morning, I'm looking at, I'm finally getting to the video, and I already get a text from him, and he's already broken down the defensive film from last night, and so he's still active in doing what we're doing, and he keeps in touch with us, and I keep in touch with him. So he's a very vital part of this, obviously. He's done a great job, and now he's just going to have to kick back and relax a little bit, which is hard for him to do. He doesn't stay very non-motion.
Well, one thing I can say from listening to you, watching film isn't always very relaxing.
No, it cannot be all the time. As far as obviously this one's going to be a lot easier to watch, but yes, that's why he's got to be careful. And a matter of fact, I think he also had said during a text after the game, congratulating us on the win, that he had a couple of moments there where he had his daughter or daughter-in-law or whoever was over there was kind of telling him just to calm down a little bit, yep. So we don't want to get him too excited. But like I said, he's recovering. He's doing well. I spoke with him the other day, went over there and saw him, and he's chomping at the bit. To sit around is very difficult for him, so that's something he's going to have to get adjusted to in his new lifestyle, at least for the short term anyway. We hope it's short term, but obviously he won't be back this week either. But he's still there in spirit and gives us a lot of confidence as far as knowing what he's doing and again, helps us develop the game plan for the defensive side of the football. So, it's very difficult not to have him there and very awkward not to have him there, but we just got to continue to move forward. He's still a vital part of this by all means.
Scott Spatton, head coach here on Tiger Football. Huron with the win Thursday over Mitchell. Now travel with the number 5 seed to Sturgis to play the number 4 seed to Scoopers Thursday night, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff on Tiger 95. Mike Hendrickson, South Dakota sports history coming up. Do want to note, Mark Wendelgass, former AD and track coach here in Huron. His interview from this past summer will be repeated today, so a very good Huron connection there as Coach Wendelgass. We'll talk about a lot of his Huron memories. That's coming up here shortly. Up next, Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
For the top 5 countdown from the dusty old rodeo trail, here's your host, Monty James.
As promised, we have the much anticipated Best of the Territory show coming up, but I need you to help a brother out. Although I put in about 1,000 miles a week on the rodeo rig, I still can't hit every dewdrop in, greasy spoon, and water in hole. Therefore, we need your input at Territorial Rodeo Update on Facebook. Categories this year: Best Steakhouse, Best Burger, Best Mexican and or Latin Restaurant, being politically correct there, Best of Pizza Pie, and Best American Food. That's a new category, by the way. Your vote counts as an American to guide weary travelers to the best fiddles in all the land. Sorry, that's Territorial Rodeo Update on Facebook. This week's Top 5 Countdown on the other side.
Rodeo announcer Ty Dean here talking about ProTech fabric buildings and indoor arenas. I grew up roping steers and riding colts in a ProTech indoor arena, decked out with high-qual horse stalls and Sioux steel gates with a lifetime warranty. I can't say it helped my roping a lot, or I wouldn't be announcing. But it sure served our community well, from 4-H horse shows to barrel races, and everything in between. All types of applications, from hay and grain storage to livestock confinement. Call me, Ty Dean, for a price quote at 605-595-4713 or visit ProTechBuildings.com.
Hearken now as we present the top 5 in each event in the world of pro rodeo going into the NFR. Raise it, lock it down, and let's get it on. Swinkle, Iowa's Tim O'Connell, number 1. Thanks for not moving to Texas, Tim. Utah powerhouse Casey Field, number 2. Canadian Oren Larson, 1 ahead of Texan Tilden Hooper. Cali's Clay Bigelow kicking back falls. Bulldogging Texan Matt Reeves is BDOC. Louisiana lads Jake Tolley and Ty White gets back 2 and 3. Dakota Eldridge in Nevada, number 4. Kirk Cassidy of Canada, 5 spot A. Bruder of Kansas and Melvin of South Dakota, just a few dabbas back. Team Roman on the head. South Carolina's Luke Brown ups, followed by Smith, Snow, Lovell, and Eggman. Healing, it's Joe Harrison of Oklahoma in front on the back, then Corkle, Hawkins, and Long of Kansas, and Nogueira of El Presidente Prudente, Brazil, so there's that. Brock Wrighton, Texan Wyatt Casper leads it. Ryder Wright of the Utah Clan, number 2. Wyoming Hand, Brody Crest, 3rd. Shody Garrett of Eagle Butte, South Dakota, 4th. Alan Bohr and Cole Elsher battle it out for 5 and 6. Come on now.
Cowboy,
Tied at rope in New Mexico.